So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 today. And as you guys turn there, I want you guys to think about all the things God has done for you this past year. Think about all the blessings He's done for you. All the times He's helped you through your struggles. The times where, you know, maybe He just kept you going. You know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, and sometimes it's all focused around food and not so much around what God has done for us, the things He's done for us. So just take a minute to think about those things. Really think about how great our God is. The times where you don't think that you're going to make it through and somehow God pulls through. The times where, you know, we run out of money in the church, but somehow we still make it through because of God's grace and mercy and all of His blessings that He gives to us. So here in Philippians chapter 4, Paul here gives us an antidote to anxiety. And he shows us how to live right through a world of chaos and how to rejoice always. And I encourage you, if you have not read Philippians before, to read it. It's a very encouraging book to read. It's focused a lot around joy. So Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul here tells us to rejoice always, right? Doesn't just say it once, right? He wants to really push that, right? He even says, I will say it again, rejoice. A lot of times we use joy and happiness as synonyms, but sometimes we have to make a distinction between the two. Happiness is primarily an outwardly emotion reaction to pleasant circumstances. But joy is a deep inner characteristic that continues to exist even through unpleasant circumstances. In fact, it serves to sustain us through tough times. In Sunday school, we're doing Acts, and a couple weeks ago we did Acts chapter 16. And just to give a summary of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they go to Philippi, and they're going to go to the place of prayer, and they're met with a demon-possessed woman that is a slave. And this woman just keeps going on to Paul, right? And Paul gets annoyed, so he cast out that demon in Jesus' name. And the demon leaves her. Well, she was a fortune teller, and her master was getting money by her fortune telling, right? People would pay to hear their fortune, and, well, now she doesn't have that ability anymore. So, master's out of money, so guess what? The master's angry, so he gets everybody, which is a common theme in Acts, is someone stirs up the crowd, and what do? They pull Paul and Silas out into the open, they get some rods, and they beat them. They beat them severely. And they take them to the authorities, and they throw them in prison, right? They put them in shackles. And at midnight, you would think that would be the point to quit, right? You wouldn't think that would be a point to rejoice, right? It seems pretty bad. It is pretty bad. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang hymns to God, right? They rejoiced. They rejoiced in the Lord even through this crazy circumstance, a circumstance that you would never think that you'd be able to get out of. They rejoiced. They rejoiced so much that everybody's seen them, right? That they all saw them, and then this miracle happens, right? A giant earthquake, boom, shakes the foundation of the jail, breaks open, their chains break open, and the jailer sits there and he's like, oh no, right? All the prisoners are gone. He brings out his sword and he's ready to kill himself. But Paul is like, wait, we're still here. We haven't left. And the jailer goes up and he goes to Paul and he falls down at his feet and he says, how can I be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that whole family, the jailer's whole family, got saved through that experience of rejoicing through struggles, rejoicing through a point in your life when you wouldn't think that'd be possible. There's a lot of times when we don't realize when people see us. I was working at Owens, and I would go when I worked at Owens. I would go and I would hum, right? I wouldn't sing outwardly, but I would hum praise songs. You know, that's like the only thing that would actually get me through that day. So then a coworker comes up to me and says, were you humming Amazing Grace? And I was like, yeah. And she said, I really needed that today. And that's when it really stuck with me that people see us. Those prisoners saw Paul and Silas. Right? The jailer saw Paul and Silas through that whole experience. See, we all experience trials and difficulties, problems that make us unhappy. Right? There are so many things that probably make us all unhappy, especially out in a sinful world. There are very unhappy things. And there's nothing wrong with feeling unhappy in those situations. But as Christians, we can still rejoice even when we are sad. We can still rejoice even when we are sad. Remember, Paul said, rejoice always. Well, how do we rejoice always? How can, even though that our world is falling apart, how can we rejoice always? We can rejoice always in what Paul says here in the beginning, in the Lord. Right? Even if your world is crumbling, we can still rejoice in the Lord. See, no matter what happens to us in this life, we can still rejoice in our hope. We all, if you have Jesus Christ, you have hope. He is our hope. We can get through whatever because of our hope. See, ultimate joy comes from Christ dwelling inside of us. That's where our joy comes from, is Christ. See, like Jimmy talked this morning about Daniel in the lion's den. See, no matter if we're going to the lion's den, right? No matter if we're going to the lion's den or we're on the mountaintop, we can still rejoice. Why? Because we know Christ is right there with us. Christ was right there with Daniel, right? He shut those mouths of the lions, a point where everyone else thought, okay, Daniel's a goner. But he wasn't, because Christ was with him. See, verse 6, which I really like, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. See, basically, to sum that piece up is stop worrying about anything, but pray about everything. See, I'm pretty sure we all have worried about something. Between job and school and just money situations. At some point in our lives, we've worried about something. See, we're very good at it. We're very good people at worrying. A lot of times it's what fuels a lot of our lives. Right? We wake up every day and we're like, well, what's going to happen, right? We worry about tomorrow, which we know Christ says not to. Which is a hard thing to do. It really is, to wake up knowing, well, I only have $5, you know, to last me for the rest of the week. Right? It takes a little bit of trust in God to know that God is our provider, right? God knows that we need food. He knows we need clothing and shelter. He knows all those things. But we still worry about all those things. See, worrying is like this disease that takes over our lives, right? It's what surrounds our minds and our thoughts. We can't think about anything else if you've ever worried about something to the point of where you just can't think about anything else. He gives us this antidote, right, to this disease. And it's prayer, right? He says, pray about everything, right? Every situation you have, the small things, all the way up to the big things, right? It doesn't matter, but to pray always. See, over and over again, the Bible promises that God will hear and answer our prayers. In James, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right? Keep on praying. Paul says to pray continuously, without ceasing, never stop praying. But a lot of times, what do we do first? We go to somebody else, right, to figure out our problems. You know, we get on the internet, say, well, I got this problem, what do I do next? We go to mom or dad, and there's nothing wrong with those, but we should always seek Christ first. We should always pray first. Ask God, what's my next step? You know, maybe I only have $5. God, what is my next step? See, we know that prayer will make a difference. We know prayer will make a difference because God said it will, right? We see so many different stories throughout the Bible of God saving his broken, distressed people. And on Wednesdays, we're in the book of Judges. And that is about a lot of broken, distressed people and God delivering them through people. And God put people in, you know, the Israelites' lives to get them out of the hands of their enemies. See, prayer is the supreme manifestation of trusting God. See, we should trust that God cares for us and is at work in our situations. Why? Because God's words tells us so. And because God's word tells us so, we should begin to act on faith that God will direct our steps, that God will lead us in the ways that He's leading us, right, in this perfect and pleasing will that He has for us, right? This plan that He has for all of us. We should be praying every day that God will lead us. And even though there are the things of this world that trip us up, that make us worry, that kind of makes us lose a little bit of faith in God, a little bit of trust in God, we pray. We keep on praying. We give thanks to God for the things He's done. We talked about on Saturday that there, and well, we talked in the book of Luke about the 10 lepers. Jesus walks by and there's 10 lepers, and you know, they kind of beg Jesus, "Hey, you know, have pity on us." And Jesus says, "Go to the priest." And while they're walking to the priest, they're healed. Right? One of the men was like, "Oh, we're healed. Maybe we should go back and thank the man who healed us." So he goes back. He goes back and he goes to Jesus and he falls at his feet and, you know, he gives thanks to him for healing him. And then Jesus looks at him and says, "Where's the other nine? You know, where's the other nine that I healed?" There's so many times that we forget to give thanks to God with the little things. We forget that, you know, we have a job every day. If you have a job, you should wake up giving thanks that you have that job. Even though you might have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work, we should give thanks for that. Right? We should wake up every day. If you have a vehicle, you should give thanks for that, because not everybody has a vehicle. You should give thanks for that. You know, you wake up and you have a loving mother and father that cares for you. You should be thankful for that, because not everybody has a mother or father that loves them. That's really the biggest thing, is what we always forget to do. You know, a lot of us here will give thanks when God, you know, comes and He puts it on the heart of a man to give $10,000 to our ministries. And we give thanks for that because that's an amazing piece. You know, without it, we wouldn't have been able to do what we need to do with it. But when, you know, God, you know, gives a volunteer down at the soup kitchen that, you know, we needed that, you know, one more person to get that job done a little bit faster, sometimes we forget to give thanks for that. Or, you know, sometimes when we just have a good time, right? Just like Saturday at Fusion. Sometimes we just have a really good time, and we're like, "Yeah, man, that was a good time." We go home, go to sleep, wake up, do everything the next day, and we never gave thanks to God for letting us have a joyous time with fellow brothers and sisters. Sometimes we forget here that we have a place to worship, that we have a place to come and come before God and kneel before God and give thanks, and to learn about His Word. We forget about those things. We forget about the little things. In 1 Peter, Peter says, "Cast all your cares on God." Why? Because He cares for you. You know you have a God that cares for you? Did you know that? You have a God that loves you? Well, how do we know God loves us? Because He sent His Son to die for us, right? That yet we were still sinners, that you were still living in your muck and dirty lives, Christ died for you. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? That even though we're pretty bad people, right? That we don't thank our Father. That we just go with our daily lives, right? Doing whatever we want. But we still have a loving Father that sent His Son to die for us. That's how we know God loves us. That's how we know God cares for us. See, in verse 7 here, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, the result of casting all our cares on God in prayer is that His peace will guard our heart, will guard and sustain our hearts and minds. See, God's peace is a lot different from the world's peace. See, God's peace, true peace, is not found in positive thinking. It's not found in It's not found in the absence of conflict or in good feelings. It comes from knowing God is in absolute control. It comes from knowing that God holds everything in His hands, right? God holds everything in His hands, right? I got the whole world in my hands. I got the whole world in my hands. Did you know that no matter your situation, God can handle it? Did you know that God can handle anything? There's nothing too big for God. Sometimes we think so. A lot of times we think some things are too small for God, right? So we just put them on the wayside, right? Well, God wouldn't care about that. You know, God doesn't need to hear about those. God wants to hear about everything in our lives. He wants to have this relationship with us. This two-way street, right? He wants us to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to us. A lot of times it's always a one-way street, right? We want to talk to God when we're in need, and we say amen, but we never listen to what God says. We go about our day, oh, I prayed today, I'm good, I'm set, I prayed for my meal, God blessed my food, I go about my life, and God was sitting here, you didn't let me speak. You didn't let me tell you what to do next. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about your daily lives. How much filth do you allow in your lives? You know, when you turn on the TV, are those good things that you're watching? Or are they bad things? When you're with your friends, are you talking about good things? Are you talking about bad things? We got to realize on what we put in here, what we put in our hearts, because what we put in our hearts is what's going to show, what's going to show outwardly. See, Paul tells us to think about the good things, not to surround our minds with all the bad things in life, all the bad things that bad people do, but to think about the good things. To think about the good things to keep us going, right? To keep us going towards the goal, right? The race that we're supposed to race. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You really want to know how to have joy and peace? To have joy and peace, read this. Read what this says and put it into practice. Do what it says. I mean, I could flip through page by page and read nonstop, and you could have me answer a question, and I could give you the answer just like that. But if I never put any of this into practice, it means nothing. It has not helped me at all. There's a level of obedience that it takes to achieve God's peace, to have God's peace. We have to do what this says. We can't, well, you know, I'll just pick this verse. I'll do what this verse says, but I don't really like what this verse says, so I'm not going to do this one. Do you think you're going to have God's peace? Well, probably not. See, we have to do what God's Word says. Not what men say, but what God says. God is above all things. God is not going to steer you into the wrong way. If you're worrying about money and God tells you to give that money, He's not steering you in the wrong way. If God says to help somebody out, give them a ride, God's not steering you in the wrong way. See, God is all good. Even though that we live in this crazy, messed up world, God is all good. We can say, you know, like Jimmy talked about this morning in Daniel, how we can say God is cruel, right? That I can't believe, you know, we sent all those people, you know, and killed them. Well, God, we have to remember that God is all good and people are not. Our hearts are not good unless we align our hearts with God. You know, Daniel, this is one of the verses that Dan uses a lot, is, okay, I'm drawing a blank here. Be holy, for I am holy. We strive day by day, hopefully, to be more like Christ. That's our goal. Day by day, to be more like Christ. And that's by reading this word. That's by praying in every situation with thanksgiving. Not just when, you know, not just the things we need, but thanking God in our prayers. Thanking for the little things, the big things, the things maybe we don't see every day. We talked about if God gave us a list of all the things He does for us in one day, that would be a nonstop praise day. You'd be reading that all day of what He did for you. Ask God what He's done for you. Oh, He'll tell you what He's done for you. Ask Him. Therefore, by submitting ourselves to God and trusting only in Him, not in the world, but only in Him, we can have this kind of peace that Paul describes in Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs with the Spirit singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know what those people out there seek? Peace. Everyone out there is striving for peace. Everyone out there wants a better life. Everyone. If I go out there and I ask someone, they're not going to tell me, no, I don't want a better life. Everyone out there wants a better life. All the lost people, they want a better life. You know, we can think, oh man, they have it good, right? They get to do whatever they want. We have to live by God's word. Those people are lost. They have no peace. They have no hope. Because peace can never be apart from Jesus. True peace can never be apart from Jesus Christ. Think about all the things you have. Possessions, materials. Think about those. Have you ever once given thanks for those? The shoes on your feet? I mean, Beth told us last night that, I mean, the kids' clothes were just rags. the sewn pieces of rags. Could you still give thanks if you had rags? If you didn't have a car? Could you still give thanks? I hope you could. But you can't do it apart from Jesus. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything you do, whether it's going to your job, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you're, going to work and just a simple day, right? Same old, same old. Alan, you got to go to Owens and stock shelves. Do it in the name of Jesus. When we go to our family's events on Thanksgiving, do it in the name of Jesus. I'm sure we all here have family members that don't know Christ. Let's be like Paul and Silas. Let's rejoice always. Even if it's with people that either you don't know, you haven't seen, or maybe you just don't like. Rejoice. Because people are watching. People see you every day. At work, at school, at home. People see you. And the more we realize that people see us, the more we'll be on watch for the things we do. The more times we give glory to God for everything He does for us and for others. Give thanks in the name of the Lord. All right. Everyone stand up for a minute. Raise your hand if God's ever done anything for you. Amen. Raise your hand if you ever thought you're not going to make it out of a situation, but God still had victory over it. Amen. We serve an awesome, great, good God. A God of peace, a God of love, and a God of justice. We get to serve Him. We get to be living sacrifices every day for our Father. We get to do that. That's a thanks and that's a praise every day. That I get to wake up and say, man, I serve a great God. Man, I have a Father who cares for me, a Father who loves me, and that it doesn't matter even if I had nobody else, that He was enough, that God was enough. So, as we do an invitation song, you might be a person that is just filled with anxiety. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Today is the day to pray for that situation. Don't wait tomorrow. come down here, kneel before God, and tell Him. And if you got something, just to lift your hands up and say, thank you, God, come down here and kneel before Him, and you just say, thanks. Because our God deserves all the praise for all the things He does for the world. He deserves the praise. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know the person who died for your sins, today is the day to do that. Today is the day to ask Him into your heart. Today is the day. And if you want to come and receive Jesus Christ, I can talk with you. Jimmy can talk with you. And there's people here that can talk with you. God is good.